Jesus. How many of you know that's the truth? There is no one else like Him. Oh, by the way, our children are skedaddling. I don't know if that's a mountain word or even a word, but they're skedaddling. They're going to children's church. And by the way, for those of you that are allowing your children to go back there, they are doing their best to keep the children social distancing and all that kind of good stuff. I heard one time, keeping kids to social distance is like herding cats. It's not always easy, but it's necessary. Amen. Can we just love the Lord again for a minute as I sort of get acclimated into this service a little more? Father, we love You today. And Lord, I just praise You and I thank You, Father God, for Your many multiple blessings upon us today. Father, I praise You and I just thank You, God. I thank You, Father God, that the fact that You, Lord, are in this place. We have worshiped You this morning. We have praised You this morning. And we have thanked You so much, God, for Your many multiple blessings upon us. And now, Lord, I come today to break the Word of God open. That God, and really, Lord, it's not anything about me that I can do. I just want to say what I hear You saying to me. Father, I pray Your blessings over everything that's done here today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you again for being here today. I want to ask you to turn, if you will, to the book of Genesis. If you go all the way to the front of your Bible and just sort of open it, you'll kindly fall into the book of Genesis. And then if you turn over 37 chapters, you'll get to where I'm going. Genesis chapter number 37. When I sent Abby my notes yesterday, I told her, I said, I will be working on this one. I probably work on it for a couple of services anyway. And when you look into Genesis chapter number 37, I want to just read this, and you'll kind of get the gist of what I'm saying, and then we'll go on over and talk about some other things today. I'm going to be really honest with you. There's 13 chapters that actually entails this particular message. So if you want me to go through all 13 of those, I'll do that this morning. If not, you're going to have to do some homework and kind of read along, because I'm going to hit some high spots through here and kind of just share some things with you that I believe that the Lord wanted me to share this morning. But I'm going to start in a very familiar place, but yet I will not conclude everything that is actually within those 13 chapters this morning. So let me just read this today before I talk about the introduction or anything else. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, that's important that you remember that, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bila and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father an evil report. And Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that his father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood around about and made obstinance to my sheaf." In other words, they bowed down before him. And his brethren said unto him, "Shall thou reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams, for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obstinance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, and his father observed the saying. So, Father, we thank you for your word today. I thank you, Father, for this word. And your word will go forth, and your word will not return void, but your word will do that it is sent to do. Father, I pray as we work our way through this particular grouping of scripture over the next several weeks, I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand what you are saying to us in the day and the hour that we are living in. Father, I pray, God, that you, Lord, would become alive in our spirit today. And Lord, I pray that this word would just challenge us. Help us to understand that there's a dreamer on the inside of every one of us. And Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Now, I asked Abby to put a title up there, Dream Again. And the reason that I did that is because sometimes in our life, we have a tendency to lose our dream. We have a tendency to lose the thing that God shows us. When you begin to look at this, there's a couple of other subtitles or subtitles that I could actually use. One would be a dreamer with a destiny, or possibly lessons from a dreamer. I would dare say that every person in this room, at some point in your life, you have been a dreamer. By that I mean you've had aspirations. You've had desires in your life. You've had goals in front of you, and even though those goals were very difficult oftentimes to acquire, that dream was big in your life, and you knew that it was something that God wanted for you. Well, I can only tell you my own personal story and my own journey in my own life, as I too have been a dreamer at times. And I want to just say this as I walk into this, don't lose your dream. Maybe you're here today and there are people that you've had a dream in your past, and maybe you're in high school and you get out of high school and things go in different directions, and sometimes things seem like they don't go in the way that they should go, but yet the dream is still in your heart. And I just really want to walk through this as I feel it today, because oftentimes God's delay is not God's denial over your life. It really takes time. It's a process at times. And again, when you think about Joseph today, we can see in his own life that he was a dreamer with a destiny. Again, when I look at this whole 13 chapters today, it's a long grouping of scripture, and you know it, you've read it, most of it. But I wanted to just walk through several things here this morning, and I won't get done with it. I'll find a stopping place about 1 o'clock and we'll go to the house. And here's the thing. I remember my own life, okay? My own life story. Years ago, there was a story that a young preacher got up to preach. And an elder pastor, he had watched the elder pastor get up and preach. And the young man always listened to his stories, the things that the elder man was saying. And then the young man said, the elder man said, you've got to put in personal life stories in order to captivate your audience. And the young man looked back at him and said, when I get your age, I'll be able to do that. So the thing about me today, I can only tell you what I've went through. Several years ago, and I say several years ago because it's been approximately 24 years ago that this took place. Now, again, in my own personal life, I got started in 1989. In 1985, I felt the call to preach. In 1985, many of you in this room was not born yet. Many of you were still teenagers. Many of you were still in your 20s or your 30s, however old you were. Well, at that time, I was a very young lad. I was in my 20s as well. And so I got started very young in ministry. And as I began to experience the Holy Spirit, as I began to experience what God was doing and saying in my life, God put a seed of desire within me to follow Him and to just get on fire for Him and just really serve Him all the days of my life. I can remember getting my exhorter license, and Russell Morris, the pastor of mine at the time, took me to Charlotte from Haywood County, and he drilled me as we were going down the road on my exhorter test. And I remember going down the road and doing that, and he would ask me a question, and I would say, I don't remember where that scripture is at the moment. And I look back at him, and I said, do you remember where it was at? And Brother Morris is a very intellectual guy with a lot of memory. And he would just quote that scripture right back at me. And I thought, I'm not going to pass this test. I'm not going to pass this test. Driving down the road. Well, I did. And God helped us, and we moved on. And then we moved forward in ministry. And I had a great desire to do the things that God wanted me to do. And I had a great desire of being a pastor, and a desire of doing ministry, not necessarily a pastor at the time, because I just wanted to fill in for lazy preachers on the weekend is all I really wanted to do. And I just wanted to, you know, if they were deer hunting or laying out of church or whatever, I wanted to fill in for them and preach a revival every now and then. You know, that's really all the desire I had. And then God began to do other things in my life. But one of the things that I knew must happen if I was going to achieve the goals in my own life is I was going to have to go through the rank of ministry. In the Church of God, you have an exhorter rank, and then you go to the licensed rank, and then you go to the ordination rank, which is now the ordained bishop. They changed it up over the last several years. And in this, I knew there was a desire within my heart to achieve those goals. It was a dream of mine to be an ordained minister in the Church of God. And I strove for that, and I would strive for that, and I pushed myself to become everything that God wanted me to be. And in 1996, anybody remember the name Bill Sheeks? Bill Sheeks was our state overseer at the time. And in 1996, we were having a state prayer conference. And in this particular prayer conference, it was at the Charlotte campground, there was a man that was there by the name of Tommy Barnett. And Tommy Barnett is the pastor, probably retired now. His son probably holds the reins now. But Tommy was the pastor of Phoenix First Assembly of God. And Tommy came, and he's very motivational and wrote a lot of books and a lot of different things. And I've got most of his stuff back there from years ago, read a lot of it. But this man was so inspirational to me that I stood there, or I sat there, and I listened to every word that this man said. And this particular man, this particular service, was talking about dream again. That you've got to dream again. And he talked about going to, Iowa, and he thought that he was going to have an international ministry in Iowa. And so he said the only thing that was international about Iowa was the International Tractor Company. He said that was all that was there. He said there was nothing else there. And he talked about all of his difficulties and all of his problems and all of his challenges. And then he went from Iowa, he went to Phoenix and got into a whole different dimension of things there. And he talked about all of his life seemed to be complications, and all of his life seemed to be trouble everywhere he turned. I mean, he's a pastor. Everywhere he turned, he ran into all kinds of obstacles and all kinds of troubles and all kinds of things that really was hindrances to him. But when you think about this particular event of Tommy Barnett being there at this particular time in my life, it was at this particular time that Bill Sheeks was our state overseer, that March the 11th, 1996, during this particular prayer conference, that I achieved that particular goal that weekend or that week, when I became an ordained minister in the Church of God. And all of this happened at this same time. And Tommy Barnett got up and he said these words, and I want you to hear these words today. I've said this before, but I want you to say it again. I mean, I want you to hear it again. Tommy Barnett got up and he said these words. And he was talking about dreaming again. And he said, have you ever had a dream? And I would ask us here this morning, have you ever had a dream in your life where you really knew that God had put something in your heart? You as of yet have not seen that dream come to pass, but you know it's something that God put in your heart, even a seed, even something in your heart that's been hanging over your life all these years of your life. And you might even be here today and you might say, well, it's too old. I'm too old now to do anything. And all of these things are obstacles in my life. And I don't guess I'll ever see these things happen in my life. Well, when I was a young man and I heard Tommy Barnett get up and he talked about these things and he talked about dream again. He said, dream a dream. And I love this because it spoke to me. These 24 years, I've carried this in my own spirit, in my own heart. And he said, dream a dream. He said, dream a dream so big. He said that when you dream this dream, you will know when you see this dream come to pass that it was not only your dream, but it was God's dream also. Now, even me coming to Thomasville had something to do with that. And the reason that I say that is because I pushed myself all these years to become the person that God wanted me to be. We look at ourselves today and we see people that's in this building. And I hope I don't mind them. I hope they don't mind me using their name today because I did not ask their permission. But I wrote some of these down because a dream, your vision and your future starts with a dream. You know, I heard Pastor Jim Boland say this years ago. He said, really, if you have a vision, really, vision is really seeing what God is saying. And I believe that today, even in this church, in the day and the hour that we're living in, that it is no time for you and I to give up on the vision that God has given us. And I'll go ahead and say this, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of transition, even in the midst of circumstances and complications, I still believe that the greatest days for Thomasville Church of God can be in front of us if you and I get a hold of a dream that God has given us. A dream that we're willing to work for, a vision that we're willing to work for, a vision that we're willing to put shoe leather to. Are you with me today? Well, I think about a dream and I think about a vision and I think about individuals I didn't ask them if I could do this, but I wanted to do it today. I think about our prayer conference several years ago. We had a state prayer conference here. How many of you remember that? We worked really hard. We tried to get everything to accommodate about 400 people, and we worked hard and got everything done, and the overseer was coming and all his entourage and everybody was coming from all over the state, and I wanted Thomasville to be right when they got here. We worked really, really hard. What I did not know at that time was I was going to reconnect with a young man that had been in my life years and years ago when he was but a lad and I was an older guy already in ministry. Now, you don't know this too much, many of you don't know this, but he called me one day and he began to talk to me about the church. Now, mind you, I'd had a bad experience with another young man when I was in Haywood County years ago in Waynesville that told me that God told him to come to our church. This guy was coming from way up in Virginia somewhere, and I didn't feel anything. And I told him, I said, I'm not telling you to come. I'm not telling you not to come because I don't know what God's saying to you, but if God's saying it to you, God will show you and God will work it out when the time comes. Well, this young man called me. He said, God's told me to come to Thomasville. And I said, well, I was sitting back here in my office. I said, well, God ought to be telling me the same thing, you know, as a pastor. But at that time, I told this young man, I said, well, if God's saying that, I said, I don't know what to tell you. I said, if God's telling you that, only thing I can tell you is come. I said, because only time is going to tell whether that's really God or not. This young man was willing to drop everything he was doing, rearrange his whole life, sell his house, sell his property, come to Thomasville, and he's sitting upstairs this morning. That's TJ. He's sitting up there. He had a dream. He had something that God put in his heart that he was willing to pay the price for, to sacrifice for, and go through the hard work for, to see that come to pass in his life. If you look at media around here, not that other people wasn't doing a good job, but these young people know how to do this media stuff. This old hound dog don't know how to do some of that stuff. They say if you don't know how to run with a big dog, stay on the porch. Sometimes I just find a young dog to help the old dog do what we need to do. So another one of these situations was years ago. I wasn't in really too much familiar with this individual, and I'd watched this young person grow up, and I never really tried to find too much out about them necessarily and didn't meddle in their business, and I just let them do their thing. And this person felt like they needed to go to college, wanted to go to college. They wanted to go to college. They had a dream. She's sitting right over here. She had a dream. She had a desire to do something bigger than herself. And I believe that that is the thing that pushes us when we have a dream bigger than ourselves. When you dream a dream bigger than yourself and you see that dream come to pass, you'll know that it was not only your dream, but it was God's dream also. I could go all the way across this auditorium. Troy is another one. I didn't write his name down, but I seen him come in. He applied for fire department down in Concord. Hard thing. Not many people get in. He got into rookie school. He got in and he pushed himself. And now he's doing the job that he desires to do down in Concord, North Carolina, as a full-time fireman. So it's a dream. It's something that's an aspiration. And the reason I say dream again is because, again, I'm not going to be able to get through all of this. I'm not even going to really get into the meat of everything I've read and studied about Joseph this morning. So we'll walk through some of this a little bit, but it's going to take a little time to get there. Now, Joseph's dream was so much bigger than him. Has anybody ever had a dream that's much bigger than you? Yes, you have. And in this dream, we can see, again, how that God's vision, God's dream for our lives are so much more bigger than we are. When you look at this young man by the name of Joseph today, Joseph was the lineage of the covenant that God made with Abraham. I'm not going to get into all of that right now. But one of the things I believe that we need to look at, there's probably four or five things that I'll get to this morning and then I'll let you go. But when you begin to look at this, and these are not in necessarily any random order at any particular time, but the first thing that I wanted to say this morning is that everybody is not going to buy into your dream. Are you with me? Everybody is not going to buy into your dream. Why? It's because it's your dream and not their dream. When Joseph actually, God showed him this particular dream, when he began to reveal this dream, what was the first thing that happened to him? The first thing that happened to him is his dream was about to get squashed. How's that word? Squashed. I don't know what the word is. But anyway, his particular dream was getting ready to be annihilated by a dream killer, by those that did not appreciate his dream. They came, and the Bible said they actually hated him three different times in this. Therefore, let me know that when you begin to share your dream, don't expect everybody to stand in the corner and applaud you for the dream that you have, because they hated him. I remember years ago, again, I don't care telling this. Because I don't think I can offend people when I say this, and if I do offend them, it won't be the first time I've ever offended them, so they'll be offended again. But when I was in Monroe, I pastored down there for 7.5 years. Very difficult situation. We were trying to move forward and trying to do different things. And one night I had a dream. Weirdest thing I ever had. Never had nothing like this before, and I hadn't had it since, and I hadn't had it. And I hope I don't. But I was trying as a pastor to move forward and to shift out of what was into what I know we needed to do. And I was running into obstacles everywhere I turned. I was running into problems everywhere I turned. And I mean, I believe that God was showing me things, and I believe that I needed to do what I was doing, and I was working very hard. I was working very diligent. And one night I had a dream. And on the left-hand side of that sanctuary, I seen what I did not understand. It was a woman standing in the back corner, had long hair, and I still see it today. And in this, I watched in my dream, I watched in this particular, what I called in a dream, walk all the way across, more or less floated, but don't tell them online I said that. But she kind of just moved all the way across the auditorium and just slid out the back door, side door. And I looked at that in my mind's eye in my dream. I was looking at that, and I was trying to figure out what it was. And I looked back in this dream, and I remember it to this day. It's been that many years ago. But I looked back, and there was a small one in that corner the same way. And in my mind, I was going, what in the world is this? And in my spirit, I was asleep. I was asleep. I was dreaming this. And in this dream, I said, God, what is this? And the only thing the Lord said to me was this: it's the spirit of a dream killer. And it shook me to my core, because we were not, how many of you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rule. So in that I said this: even though God has given you a dream, there will always be the dream killers that's associated with the dream. What is a dream killer? I remember, again, I've said this 100 times, or at least maybe a few, here to church. Dream killers are those that stand in the corner and look at you just like they did little David. They don't have the confidence in you that God places in you. I heard Flora say this today, that when David was chosen, David was ruddy. David was just a young guy, probably 12 or 13 year old, somewhere along through there, when all of Jesse's sons came before Samuel, and they said, nope. God said, nope. God said, nope. God said, nope. And then finally, he said, do you not have any more children? He said, yeah, I've got one more. But in his mind, he may not qualify, because he's just a small lad. He's just a little ruddy. And he's out there watching the sheep. Where's he at? Go fetch him. Go get him. And then he came in. And then when he come in, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon Samuel. And the Lord says, anoint David. This is the new king of Israel. The Bible lets us know that we are not to despise small beginnings. The Bible reminds us that God looketh on the inside, but it is man that looketh on the outside. Isn't it amazing? And I'm hollering, I don't mean to. Isn't it amazing today how that people size you up by what they see on the exterior? That people size you up by what they see on the outside? And on the inside of you, God's given you a dream. God's given you a dream. Secondly, we can see that as we begin to look at this, visions, let me back up and put my glasses on where I can see. Visions and dreams for your life will not necessarily be easy to attain. How many of you know that? Visions and dreams for your life will not necessarily be easy to attain. In other words, when you begin to look at this, we begin to understand that we do not know what we have to go through. Again, I started to say it like this: we will not know until we go. And the reason I said that is because I know myself that I was very, 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 very comfortable in Haywood County, where I grew up, in Waynesville, Clyde, but Waynesville, I'd pastored New Hope Church of God, and that's a long story. I won't go through all that. But we planted that church there. We planted it in 1990. That's been a few years ago. The church is still there today. But I said that to say this, that I was very comfortable at that church. 12 and a half years. And then one thing led to another, and I believe that God began to deal with me, and I'd actually been offered a church down here in, what is that place where they make pottery? Seagrove, down at the Bethel Church. And I told the overseer, no. He said, pray about it. I said, how long have I got? He said, till in the morning. Sherry and I prayed about it. I woke up the next morning and said, I don't feel it. Don't feel it at all. It's not where we're supposed to be. And then the overseer said, well, I can't promise you that you're going to get to go here. I said, that's okay, but I can't go there. You know what I mean? So don't let other people talk you out of your dream is what I'm basically saying in a nutshell. But in this, I ended up going to Monroe, and God helped the pastor. Been there, you know, been there and done that. But I said all that to say this, that when God begins to deal with your heart, God begins to show you the vision that God has for your life, the dream that God has for your life. Watch this. One of the things that I was reading through in commentary basically said this, and I want you to hear this. When you start walking out your dream as God has given you that the dream that He's given you, always expect opposition. Now again, me and Sherry's talked about this. She says you shouldn't be like that. She's at home this morning. She's kind of feeling puny, but she's good. And again, if this ain't for you, just throw it over your back to the person behind you. As a pastor, I believe I've tried to stay focused on what I needed to be focused on all these years as a pastor, as a leader. And again, she don't agree with my philosophy, and you probably won't either. But in order for me to be the person that God wants me to be, I had to work it out in my own heart and on my own mind. And one of the things I've often said, I said, if you keep your expectations of people very low, then you won't be disappointed quite as often. And she said, well, that's not really so, because you need to excel with excellence and you need to expect excellence out of everybody. Well, I do, and we are, and I try. But the reason I said that is if Joseph had of allowed the jealousy and the hatred that was shown to him by his own family. Now you think about family. Jesus was a family man. But yet the Bible reminds us that Jesus even said it. He said that a prophet is not without honor save in his own country only. Isn't it amazing how family can hurt you? Isn't it amazing how family can tear you down? Isn't it amazing how God can put His hand upon your life and God's using you greatly and others cannot see what God's doing through you? See, if Joseph would have allowed his brothers to hinder him, he would have never ended up in a position that he ended up there in Pharaoh's house. Again, that's a long part of this message and the latter part of it that I won't get time to talk about today. So the first thing I wanted to mention here this morning was simply, is it that time already? I thought I was just getting, I did say 1 o'clock, right? Some are sitting on the couch and they say, hey, preacher, we're not going nowhere. It's raining outside. So, visions and dreams for your life will not necessarily be easy to attain. And this didn't come out of a book. This didn't come from nowhere, but just what God put in my heart. I want you to understand that. If God's put a vision and a dream in your heart to excel and to achieve certain goals in your life, when the naysayers come and those that try to tear you down more than they try to lift you up, don't listen to them. At least one person said amen. Vision and dreams for your life will not necessarily be easy to attain. And you won't know what you have to go through until you get there. You will not know what you have to go through until you get there. But here's the thing. I did not know anything about pastoring. Only thing I knew was God put it in my heart to do it, and I'll leave all that story for another time. I had no clue. I had no clue what I was going to have to go through. And I'm going to be gut-wrenching honest today. And maybe nobody like this is in this building today. But it has flat amazed me as I've walked through this thing called pastoral leadership that how stinking mean Christians can be. Now, I believe I'll quit right there. People can be mean. I've had things, friends, happen to me along the journey. I've quit I don't know how many times. I've called the overseer I don't know how many times. Not from Thomasville. I remember things that would happen to me. It hurt my feelings so bad I'd go up on the mountain and cry. Because I thought these people loved me. I thought they cared about me. I thought they were Christians. If you're a mean Christian today, do somebody a favor and repent. Change your demeanor. Change the way you think about yourself and change the way you operate under the title of a Christian. Because they were first Christians at Antioch because they were like Jesus. They were like Jesus. So what did I learn through all this? I learned that they, Brother Chris, I learned that they were mean people everywhere. I don't know how far I can come, maybe right here. But they were mean people everywhere. People are mean. People will tear you down. They'll chew you up and they'll spit you out. And I learned a long time ago that I cannot allow that in my life if I'm going to be able to be the dreamer that God wants me to be. If I'm going to achieve what God put in my heart when I was but 22 years old. Again, the second thing. Y'all okay? Can I stay here a while? The second thing is this. And you've got to read the whole story of Joseph to get all the gist in this. The second thing is this. That visions take time. Dreams take time. I thought about Hannah again. 6 years, maybe? 7 years. If you'd have quit the first day, you might have had the dream, but you didn't have the certificate, if you will. You didn't have that master's degree that you have now. See, you've taught me a lot, Hannah. Troy and others that's been here. But in this, we see this, that sometimes visions takes time. As you begin to look at Joseph's life, we got to understand that if it's a dream and it's a vision, if it's aspiration, something that God put in your heart, be willing to put in the time and be willing to sacrifice and be willing to do what you know that God put in your heart to do. Now, let me talk about me again. I can talk about me, and if I get mad at myself, I can hold it against myself, and hopefully I'll get over it after a while. But at one time, I worked at Pepsi. I worked at Pepsi 7.5 years. And hard work. And at that time, I was doing ministry work, going through my intern program and all the stuff that I did back in the day. But I was perfectly happy, Brother Beckner, being a Pepsi man. I was really happy. I had absolutely no desire just to fill in for lazy preachers on the weekend and preach every now and then and be a Pepsi man. But God got a hold of me. And God wouldn't let me go. And there's story after story and there's things. You know, this might sound a little boring to people this morning, but it's just reality. And I want to just say this the way I feel it. Everybody in this room had to start somewhere. And if you would have quit before you ever got started, you'd have never accomplished the things in your life. You say, well, preacher, I don't know what I've accomplished. Well, why don't you start today? Why don't you start right now? And I look at some of the gray hair around this room. You say, well, I've always wanted to do this in ministry or do that in ministry. Well, what are you waiting on? And don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say. If I had have waited on somebody to stroke me just a certain way or make me feel good in a certain way, I would have never done this. I mean, I've raised two youngins and a wife, and you got to understand something. That two youngins, did I say that right? I don't have no clue. Edit that. I have no clue what I just said. I've got a wife and two children. Hopefully that'll be better. Is that right? Write that down, Martha. I'll figure it out later. But anyway, by me saying that, I don't know nothing else about what I was getting ready to say. Here's what I was going to say. When God called me to preach, guess what? I didn't do this by myself. I've pulled two children along through this. I've pulled my wife along through this. And she's always used the scripture, and she will verify this, the scripture out of the book of Ruth that says, wherever you go, I'll go, and wherever your people are will be my people. We've always done that. But do you know if Sherry would not have been so compliant to ministry? Hey, a woman can either break a preacher or make a preacher. I'm going to be honest with you. A good woman is hard to find. Are you with me, guys? A woman can make you or break you. A woman can be an asset to your vision, or you women ought to be shouting hallelujah. Or she can be one that tears down, that is destructive. Again, the household, a home. But sometimes, let me go back to this real fast. To see this dream take place, sometimes it takes time for this to happen. Visions take time. It's not always instantaneous. But yet it remains a prophecy over your life. It's God's plan for your life. I remember standing in the altar at the Clyde Church of God. Two women, Brother Morris had these women in, and Brother Morris would remember these women. She was an elderly lady. She was hunchback kindly. She was a preacher in the church. I didn't know a whole lot about anything. I was just glad to be there, Brother Beckner. She came up and she laid her hands on me. That's when we laid our hands on people and prayed for people. And we wasn't worried about COVID and everything. I'll leave that alone too. But I was there in the altar praying. I had my hands up. And this woman broke forth and she began to prophesy over my life. And it astounded me because I'd never heard anything like that in all of my days. The true mark of a prophet is for God to use that prophet to verify to you what God has already spoken over your life. I typically don't ever look at somebody and say, yay, thus saith God. I just don't typically do that. If I ever do, you better hear, because that's one of them moments you better perk up your ears because God's speaking. Because typically I don't do that. You say, why not? Well, God, if God uses me that way and if God speaks to me through me that way, good deal. Thirdly, are you going to get all five of them? I'm going to hit all five, but I'm not going to preach them out. Thirdly, and I am going to turn to these particular scriptures because, again, this talks about Jacob. And it ties together. But vision or dreams, and again, I could get into the definition between a dream and a vision, what's the difference between the two of them, but this morning I'm basically using them simultaneously. But in this, the third thing is simply this. The vision is for an appointed time. I didn't get to Thomasville on my first day I said I was a pastor on July the 15th, 1990. It took me some time. Habakkuk chapter number 2, and you can look at this scripture really, really quick. I'm only going to read like a few verses of scripture, and then I'll be done. And then we'll pick back up on this a little bit later on. Long story, again, as I told you, there was 13 chapters. And I've talked to you more than I've really read in the Bible this morning. But if you begin to look through all of this, it'll come to pass. You can read 13 chapters. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 says this. He says, and his brethren envied... Uh-oh. That's not it. I can turn there. Uh-oh, now I'm in trouble. Are we there? Hey, I will stand up on my watchtower and set before the tower and will watch and see what he say unto me. This is Habakkuk, and he says, and what I shall answer... Verse 1. When I am reproved. Now look at verse 2. Here's the point. He says, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. Look at verse 3. Now watch this. He says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Verse 4, and then I'm going to go back to verse 3, and then we'll be done. Behold, his soul which is lifted up and is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Sometimes I say this as we move forward. When Joseph done what Joseph did, how many of you know that it took a whole lot of faith? But verse number 3 says that this particular vision is yet for an appointed time. I don't know about the children because they're over there. But I thought about that when I was doing this, because I believe that children can have dreams. I asked Jackson one day, I said, hey, what you going to do when you grow up? You know what he said? He said, I'm going to drive monster trucks. Cool. Out of the mouth of babes, right? I asked him again, I said, you still going to drive monster trucks when you get older? No, I'm not going to do that now. You know, we need to be praying for our children and praying over them. Amen. When I was younger, my children were not married. There was another family in our church that said, I've been praying over my children for years that God would send them the right spouse. I never even thought about that. Never even dawned on me to do something like that. So guess what? You just start praying. I don't know where to stop. I have no clue. Because I've got so much in this today to do that I'm just going to go back over these really, really quick. Visions and dreams for your life will not necessarily be easy to attain. Number 2, visions take time. Number 3, visions is for appointed time. What do you mean? Just keep working it. Don't give up. Troy, just go to rookie school. Start from there. And I don't know the ranks. I don't know. I know what the chief is, but I don't know the lieutenant. I don't know all the other. I don't know all the protocol. I don't know all that. But maybe that's a dream. I'm picking on Troy. Maybe that's something that, I don't know, prophesy over Troy. I don't. Maybe it's your desire to be chief of Tyro. I'll just throw that out there. Go for it. Go for it. Maybe Hannah wants to get a doctorate. I don't know. Go for it. Chris and he'll go, ah! What are you saying? Well, move forward real fast. Fourth thing is, you've got to stick it out. Joseph could have given up, but he didn't. And you could read that this week in your own time. The fifth thing and final thing is, people with visions and dreams don't quit. You may get tired and weary, but if this dream is from God, it drives you daily. It's something, Junior, that drives you daily. I've got something on my radar screen, and God showed it to me, and I'm not giving up. I can't quit, because it's this thing that drives me daily. Amen? When you know it's God's will, and when you know it's from God, watch this. Man cannot persuade you any different. The last thing is, God-given dreams keep us focused. Now, that's all I wrote down that the Lord gave me about that quick yesterday, as quick as I could write. And then I read and read and read about Joseph. I can tie every bit of this together to the life of Joseph, and I'm going to talk about Joseph some more. Okay, why did you preach this message today to Thomasville Church of God? Because you're setting on your dream. You're setting on it. And I'm not talking about your rear end. I'm not talking about that. But I'm simply saying that you're setting on what God's speaking to you, and you're not doing anything with it. You're not doing anything with it. You say, I'm just looking for retirement. I'm just looking to slow down somewhere. I'm just looking for a palm tree, or I'm just looking for a house in the mountains. If it's God's vision for your life, you're going to go sit down like Jonah under that juniper bush, and that gourd's going to grow up over your head. And you're going to look around one day, and that thing's going to be over on top of you, and you're going to think, you know what? I didn't do what God told me to do. And you're going to sit there absolutely miserable, because every excuse in the world could be used, but yet at the end of the day, you're going to say, you know what? I didn't do what God called me to do. How many pastors, how many preachers, how many good people that's got gifts and talents have taken their gifts and their talents and they hid them in the earth and they hid them in the sand, and they took what God had given them and blessed them with, and they've not used it, but all this time they've got something on the inside of them going, I've got to do this, but I'm afraid. Do you not think that Joseph was afraid a few times? Oh, I'm sure he was. You don't think that this old country boy's been afraid a few times through life? Oh, yes, he has. But you got to push to achieve what God's put in your heart. Well, stand up with me. I'm done. I'm finished. I don't know where it's going. I don't know how it fell. Don't know where it fell. But don't lose your dream. Don't lose what God's put in your heart. Father, I love you. I thank you for your word today, for your word is never changing. Your word is ever true. Father, I pray, God, you take this word today that you put in our heart. And God, I pray that, Jesus, that you would help us to share it with others. Help us, Father God, to be the people that you've called us to be. And Father God, help us today to begin to walk this thing out day by day, day by day by day, that we will see your hand upon our lives. Now, Father, I pray, God, even right now, that you would minister to every person in this room. Lord, again, let us get a hold of your vision for our life. Let us get a hold of your vision for this church. And let us get a hold of the things that, God, that you have put in us. And God, if there be one here this morning, they've lost their way. They've lost their vision. I pray, Father God, again, that they would dream again. That they would dream a big dream. And God, that you, Lord, would be the wind behind it. Put the wind in their sails today to become everything that you've called them to be. And Lord, we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.